أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا جعلنا ما على الأرض زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن عملا وإنا لجاعلون ما عليها صعيدا جرزا صدق الله العلي العظيم. These are the 7th and the 8th verses of the Surah Al-Kahf, and the first 6 verses Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given us different prescriptions of fighting the fitna of Dajjal. But obviously these prescriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us are of such a nature that we need to bring them into our minds. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zina." Certainly we had placed whatever is on the earth a zinat. Zinat means an adornment. And we all understand this word adornment, that sometimes a thing or a person is adorned, but that is only a very superficial face. It is a window front. There is a greater reality to what is behind that window front. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, zinatan laha, it is an adornment for this material world. And when we look at the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this world is green and it is lush and it is sweet. When a person looks at it, it looks to be very good. And then at the same time, when a person tastes this material world, it seems to be very, very sweet. But the reality is, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned us, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا, abstain and keep away from the dunya. Now obviously we will ask this question, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent us to this material world. It is a world in which we will have to live. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also shown us our destination, and our destination is the hereafter. So in the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, tells us to keep away from this dunya. And here in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is an adornment. So we should be very wary of anything that is adorned, because it is not the reality that we can see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way warns us about this material world. And at the same time, Allah sent us into this material world. So we need to reconcile and we need to understand a few aspects. That whilst there is no getaway from it, we have to live in this world, we have to earn in this world, we have to continue our life in this world, but at the same time we should never ever forget our maqsad, our objective, and that is our destination, the hereafter. Our example is like we look in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the example of that boat or that ship that is in water. That ship or that boat has been immersed in water, but also the sailor, the captain, and everybody knows that that boat is not going to stay stagnate in the water that it is in, and it is not going to go deep into the water and thereafter sink. It has an objective, it has a destination in mind, and that boat needs to sail to its destination. So insan, we are here in this world, there are these trials, there are these tests in this world, but we need to understand that to overcome all these challenges, we need to move on, and the mindset should be the hereafter. The mindset should be that our minds are accustomed and our minds are tuned in towards the hereafter, that whatever we do in this world, we must understand that we are going to reap in the hereafter. The one very beautiful thing about this world, we find in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah, that this dunya is a mazra'ah, it is a cultivating land, it is a tilth for the hereafter. If we are going to be rewarded in the hereafter because of our amal, then obviously there has to be a point in time, there has to be a place in which we are going to carry out those amal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this world as a place of amal. So on the one hand, the dunya is a place, a journey that we are going to journey through. On the other hand, there are going to be very different types of adornments and challenges that's going to come from the material world. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it as a place in which we can reap and we can carry out good deeds to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, the mindset should be that we need to travel on towards this journey of the hereafter. So whatever we do in this material world, we are going to do for the sake of the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this in the second part of the ayat, لِنَبَلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that we may test them, that is insan, أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which of them brings the best of actions. Here, always remember that the first obligation that Allah has obligated us with. There is absolutely no compromise in that whatsoever. A person cannot drop the 5 salat to 4. A person cannot drop the 2.5% zakat to 2%. A person cannot drop this month of Ramadan and decide that we're going to be fasting for 15 days. A person cannot drop the span of the fasting and say, okay, we'll break our fast at Asr. There is no compromise whatsoever. But over and above that, in contrast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who brings the best of actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say who brings the most amount of actions. And this is sometimes that we all become a little bit wary about, or we become concerned about, what should we do. The very, very important aspects, a few things about أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, the best of deeds. Number one is this, that he should have a great degree of ikhlas and sincerity. Whatever we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-A'raf, in Surah Al-Qari'ah, other surahs of the Qur'an Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the weighing of actions. And the weighing, what is going to give weight to that action? It is going to be, in actual fact, that ikhlas and that sincerity. The other ingredients and necessary prescriptions that an action should have, number one is iman, that all of us have, so there is no issue. The ikhlas that is there, that we have to work and we need to persist. The third is, whatever we do it in the tariqah and in the manner of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To illustrate this, the ulama have given us a very, very beautiful example. They say that there is one person, and again we're speaking about nafal ibadat. One person stands up after he finished his Isha salat, he stands up and he makes nafal salat the whole night. And another person makes a few rakats. But the person that makes the few rakats has ikhlas and sincerity. He does it or she does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, he does it or she does it in the tariqah and in the manner shown to him or her by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And opposed to that, the other person does it in his own way, his own whims and fancies. He may stand up the way he wants to, he makes ruku and sajda the way he wants to, he sits the way he wants to. So all the ulama agreed that that person that carries out the action according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is going to be weightier in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what is implied when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ahsanu amala. There is one riwayat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, sahaba used to say that ahsanu amala, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam used to say ahsanu aqla. Now this is very, very important. One is amal, one is deeds that we all carry out. But there should be that frame of mind that we should be all having. What we term in our common term as khiyalat. Our khiyalat should be right. The frame of mind should be right. We should be trying to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as interpreted to us by the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And that is also regarded as ahsanu amala. So hence here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorned this world, and that is so that Allah will test us. The last part of it is وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا سَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and surely we are going to turn what is on the earth into a barren land, and that is going to be on the day of Qiyamah. There is not going to be anything that's going to be lush. There is not going to be trees the way we're going to get shade, but the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is not going to be mountain passes and valleys where we think we're going to be hiding, but it is going to be a plain that is going to be very, very flat, and the whole of mankind is going to assemble there in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this ayat, and we can see the methodology of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the one hand it is zina over here, and on the other hand it's going to be plain over there. That is why we find in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, he even spoke about Jannat also. Jannat, he says, is a barren land, but a person that makes the tasbih, he says, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, a tree is planted for that person. That is in Jannat. So even the day of Qiyamah, the land would be barren, and in that state and in that condition, without having any possessions on us, without being totally unclothed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us onto this plane. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.